All right, it's a joy to be back here at the New Testament Baptist Church and to be able to see what God's doing here and let you know that we at the board have been praying earnestly for you and for Brother and Mrs. McLean and everything that has gone on, and we are so excited to see how God answers prayer, amen? And we are just excited to know that God is still in the prayer answering business. And nothing is too big for God. Nothing is outside of His realm to be able to solve. And it's just exciting to see what God is doing. We're excited to have Brother McLean back on the BMFB Canada board. He will be voted back on to the stateside board in June. And so he's already been in our meetings and stuff, and we're excited about that. And I appreciate the opportunity to be here tonight and to be able to share some things with you, what God is doing at Baptist Missions to Forgotten Peoples in Jacksonville. God has been good to us this year. We are excited for candidate training. We have about 10, 11 couples that we are actively working with, maybe some extras, getting some more from Canada as well. And things are already starting to gear up for candidate training. Brother Matt is already busy getting things put together. And so we are excited to see what God's going to do. The last couple of years, our candidate training has been more of a revival and then it has been a candidate training. But everybody wants to come now. I get calls, pastors, well, we're hearing what's going on. Can we come see? And I said, yeah, that's what we're here for. And so we already have some pastors that have called, and they plan to come and spend a day at the mission while we're having candidate training to see what's going on. And so that's just answer to prayer. It's something we've been asking for. And so you pray for us. We're praying for 20 new candidates. We're on our way. I got a call from one of the men today. He says, Brother Lyons, I'm sending in my application as we speak. I said, amen. Brother Quitter will surely appreciate that. Amen. Waiting to the last minute. But oh well. Praise the Lord anyway. Amen. And so so we're excited what God's going to do. Thank you so much for your prayers and your support for Baptist Missions to Forgotten Peoples and allowing us to come and be here and to meet. And you don't know how much your involvement with the board has meant to me personally, but also to the board in general and to the mission. So we do appreciate all that you do. And so thank you so much for investing in Baptist Missions to Forgotten Peoples. I want to thank Ms. Flo for housing us in her barn. Amen. And we'll leave it there. You have to be in Canada to know that, amen. So I'm gonna go, and someone's gonna ask me in the U.S. what you're talking about. I said you just got to go find out for yourself, you know. And so what happens in Canada stays in Canada. That's what we just kind of what we come to conclusion, right, Miss Flo? Yeah. And she has surely been a joy and a delight, just a fellowship. She wakes us up early in the morning and lets us go to bed late at night. No, she doesn't do that, but. But we have a good time of fellowship, and thank you so much for Ms. Flo for having us and just being so kind to us. Take your Bibles tonight and go to the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter 8. 2 Corinthians in chapter 8. Just 2 weeks ago, I was not here. I was in sunny Yucatan, Mexico. My wife and I were doing a Spanish missions conference for one of our BMFP missionary, Brother Jason Thomas. He has started a new ministry and has been just celebrated 1 year. And they combined their missions conference with the other church they've been working with and had a combined missions, faith missions conference. It was the first time for their church. They have been doing very well with the other church. And so God has just blessed them. They went, I think it was 40, just talking in pesos, they had 40,000 pesos that they were giving, and their faith promise commitment has gone to 170,000 pesos. Amen. And so we're excited. I mean, that's just to see and that nationals can support missionaries too. And so we're expecting God to do great things. I talked to him today and asked him how his church was doing, and they are going to, next couple of weeks, be doing their giving, getting all their faith promise cards in. So you pray for Brother Jason Thomas. We leave tomorrow, head to North Carolina. I make a quick trip to Jacksonville for a day, and then we'll be heading up to Connecticut to be at New England Baptist College Leadership Conference. and then in Martinsburg, West Virginia, for another missions conference. And then hopefully by the end of April, we'll get home, at least for a few days. Amen. And someone said, you ever get tired of traveling? Yes, we do. But after 2 days of home, we're ready to go again. So if I can find a place to lay down and get a little bit of rest, we'll take off again. Because why? Because the time is short. The need is great. And we are just excited to be involved in people's lives and see the potential of how God is going to call people into ministry. I think it's the greatest thing that anybody could ever do is to surrender their life to be a missionary or to be in God's service wherever God places you. And I just have you understand, it's not just for pastors. It's not just for missionaries. Every born-again believer ought to put themselves on the altar and say, God, here's my life. What do you want to do with it? And I promise you that your life will become very exciting. Amen. You may say it may be a good exciting or a bad exciting, but it'll be exciting nevertheless. So, but it's all good. Amen. When you serve in God. So tonight, for a few moments, I want to direct our attention to 2 Corinthians in chapter number 8, some very familiar portions of Scripture. We'll read the first 5 verses, and I'll be preaching basically from this chapter tonight, so you don't have to do a lot of flipping. But 2 Corinthians in chapter 8, begin reading in verse number 1, the Bible says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction and the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift to take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we had hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. So for a few moments tonight, I'd like to preach to you on the subject of the work of missions. The work of missions. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this evening. And Lord, we're so thankful once again that you allow us to come to this precious place to look into your precious word, Lord, to be able to encourage your precious people. So, Lord, I pray tonight that you encourage us, strengthen us, guide us, and, Lord, and make us to be what we need to be for your honor and glory. Above all, there's one in this place tonight that doesn't know you as their personal Savior. That, Lord, tonight you would work in that heart. You would draw them close to you, help them to realize there's no other life than a life of living for Christ. Help them tonight. Help us to be a blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we think about giving and we think about missions, I have come to a conclusion. There's 3 areas of missions we need to be thinking about as we go into our message tonight. Number one, we understand there is the Great Commission, and we find that in Matthew chapter 28, where he talks about going to all the world, and it talks about going and preaching the gospel, discipling, baptizing, and doing all that. And we're very familiar with the Great Commission as his mission in all 4 gospels and in the book of Acts. So the Great Commission, we understand, we understand part of it. Great Commission does not end when we lead someone to Christ. The Great Commission is something that it's ongoing. We're discipling, we're training, we're preparing, and getting others to come along with us so they can carry on the work that God's used in our life. And so the Great Commission is a pretty big project. And then not only have the Great Commission, but that comes as a result of the great submission, which we find in Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your what? Reasonable service. All right? And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You know, we'll never accomplish the Great Commission unless there's a great submission. Submission to Christ, submission to his will, submission to what he has for our life. But when we have the Great Commission and it's brought about by the great submission, then we have the great provision. But my God shall supply all your need by his riches and glory. Amen. And so we understand that God never calls us to do something that he does not prepare us or provide for to carry out his work. And so as we think about that, we think about the work of missions, and we understand, if you go to Acts chapter 1, But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ left a command for us, the church, the body of Christ, to be able to get the good news of salvation to a lost and dying world. The Bible calls us his witnesses or his ambassador. We see in our text in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, in verse number 1, we see, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." God has a way of doing things. God has a way of organizing things, and it's all done by his grace. If it wasn't for the grace of God, you and I would not be here. If it wasn't for the grace of God, there would not be any salvation. If it wasn't for the grace of God, all things would not pass away. Behold, all things would be new. And so it's all by the grace of God. In Galatians, it talks about sowing and reaping. And we hear that verse, "He that soweth to his flesh shall reap flesh, shall of the flesh reap corruption. And he that soweth of the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Folks, let me encourage you tonight. Everything has to do with the Christian life, has to do with faith and with faithfulness. It has to do with faith and with faithfulness. There is a law of sowing and reaping. Let me just share that with you, that we reap what we sow. Amen? I'm not a farmer, don't ever claim to be, don't think I ever want to be a farmer. Everything I put my hands on seems to die. Even the fake plants die when I try to take care of them. Amen? I do understand if you plant an apple tree, you're supposed to get apples off that tree. If you plant a pineapple grove, you're supposed to get pineapples. If you plant beans in the field, you're supposed to get beans in the field. If you don't, you didn't know what you planted. Amen? And so we reap what we sow. But number two, we reap more than we sow. If you plant some corn, you're going to get many corns. You understand what I'm saying? You get a stalks and you get a lot of corn. And so we reap more than we sow. But then number three, we reap in proportion to what we sow. If we sow a lot, we're going to reap a lot. If we're skimping on what we sow, we're going to get skimpy on what we receive. And so that's very important. But then we also need to remember, and this is where I think we have a hard time, we reap later than we sow. Patience is not something that the human race has accomplished yet. We are still working on patience. If you talk to people, especially when you deal with them, but with the will of God for their life or in their service for the Lord, we tend to get anxious. We tend to get in a hurry. We tend to run ahead of the Lord. And many times we cause ourselves our own problems just because we're not patient and waiting on the Lord. The Bible has called us to walk with him. Amen. Day by day, our walk with him. So understand what we're doing today. We may not see a harvest until years later. As I think, and I shared with the board yesterday, my mind is, 10, 15 years down the line. I want to do stuff today that in 20 years from now, it's going to be going, it's going to be doing something great, not because I'm important or because what I do is important, because it's the Lord's ministry. And I want the Lord to be exalted. I want him to be lifted up, and I want his name to be glorified, even after I'm dead and gone. And that ought to be our goal in our life. So as we think about that, as our introduction, I'll keep it short, but understand there's some things that has to do with our Christian life and with faithfulness. Faithfulness. Understand that God used or bestowed grace on the churches of Macedonia. They were poor and they were in much affliction, but the Bible says they had joy and they gave liberally to missions. The work of missions is always the work of faith, and faith is the key element to anything and everything in the Christian life. It's no different in the area of missions. So whatever it is, if it's not of faith, it's of works. If it's of works, it's not of faith. And so we think about what we want to do this year for the cause of missions and what we want to accomplish for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to have to be done through the avenue of faith. The avenue of faith. So I want to give you a couple of things tonight that I hope it'll be a blessing to you as we think about the church of Macedonia and how God worked in their life. And how did it work? How did faith work out for the church of Macedonia? So hang on to your seats, and we'll get these things done tonight. Number one, it worked for them because, number one, they had a consecrated faith in verse number 3. They had a consecrated faith. The Bible says, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. Hey, when you think about being consecrated to the Lord in our faith, man, that does make a difference as we serve Him. They were enthusiastic about the task. The Bible says they went beyond their power. Most people just do what they can do just to get by. I mean, thus they have kids, right? Give them a task to do, and they'll do just enough to get by. But then there's that one child that just kind of excels. And not only do they clean the room, but they make their bed, they dust, they shine, they leave everything, and they go to the next room and do it for their brothers. Now, we haven't seen that very often, but anyway, it may be there somewhere, okay? And that's what we're talking about. They went beyond their power. They were enthusiastic. And folks, when we talk about missions and we talk about getting involved, of reaching the world with the gospel, it ought to stir up the juices in our heart and with enthusiasm to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. They were enthusiastic for the task. They were equipped. The Bible says that the grace of God had been bestowed upon them. They were enthralled with the task. The Bible says they were willing of themselves. I mean, it consumed them. They were all about doing something to serve God. They were all about being involved in reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It worked because they had a consecrated faith. Number two, it worked in verse number 4 because they had a compelling faith. Look there in verse number 4, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of them ministering to the saints. Can you just kind of picture the attitude, the way they were approaching all this idea of being used of God? They prayed, number one, with anticipation, with much entreaty. I mean, they were wanting to be involved. They were wanting, they were expecting to be have part in it. They did not want to be left out of this idea of reaching a world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. They prayed with anticipation. But number two, they prayed for participation. The Bible says they received the gift. Hey, they weren't only thinking about it. They weren't only praying about it. They were only imagining what it could be. They said, hey, we're going to take an active part. And they received the gift. But then they also prayed for incorporation. And that means they desired fellowship. You see there, they take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Understand tonight that missions is not just about money. It's not just about money. It's about the fellowship. You read your letters, Brother Patrick Feastel. You invest in his ministry, but you have a relationship with him. You have fellowship with him. You understand. You're learning his ministry. That's fellowship. When he comes into this place, he's not a stranger. Why? Because you've been praying for him. That is fellowship. When I came in, some people greeted me. Brother Lyons, you remember me from last year? And that's fellowship. Prayer is good, and money is good, but man's fellowship is great because we're part of the family of God. And so they had a compelling faith in verse 4. And verse number 5, we see they had a committed faith. And it said, this they did, not as we had hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. They had a committed faith. Oh, that we'd have Christians. Oh, that we'd have believers. Oh, that we have men and women, boys and girls, who were committed in their faith. Amen. In all areas. We see they were committed wholly, completely. Bible says, in this they did, not as we hope, but first gave themselves. I mean, they were holding nothing back. I mean, they were not picking parts of their life to invest. They said, hey, we put ourselves in the offering plate. We're submitting ourselves to whatever God wants, holding nothing back. And folks, can I help you understand tonight, until each and every one of us come to that point in our life where we say, God, here's my life. You take it. You use it wherever you desire. We have not completely wholly committed ourselves to him. They committed wholly. Well, then number two, I'd like you to see that they committed willingly. And this they did not as we'd hoped, but first gave them own selves to the Lord. No one was twisting their neck. Nobody was twisting their arm. No one was holding a gun to their head. No one had a baseball bat over their head. The Bible says they were willing of themselves. Folks, it's wonderful when we come and realize, hey, you know, I can do something for God. I may not be able to preach, and I may not be able to do this, or I may not be do that, but I can do something. Everybody can do something for God. Everybody can be involved in missions. Everybody can pray. Everybody can give a little something. Everybody can read a prayer letter and pray for that missionary. Anybody can write an email. Does it cost to send emails now? You know, stamps may be expensive, but emails, you can send an email. We can all do something, but it's a willing thing. I remember when I had with our children at home, it was very rare, but when it happened that they did their chores without me being behind them, man, I thought, wow, maybe they got it. Maybe they finally understand that this is part of their responsibility, and they did it willingly. Usually they wanted something out of it. But anyway, it felt good at the moment, thinking that, hey, they finally got it. Amen? But when you have to keep after them and keep after them and keep after them, that's no joy in that. But when we willingly of ourselves give, imagine how that makes God feel. Hey, we just want to be servants of God. They gave wholly. They gave willingly. And then we see, last of all, that they gave willingly. And the Lord said, and to us, by what? The will of God. Hey, can I tell you something tonight? Giving ourselves to the Lord is a wise decision. Amen. Giving ourselves to serve the Lord is a wise decision. Refusing to do that is an unwise decision. Mm-hmm. The Bible says we are bought with a price. The price that we were bought with is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid your sin debt. He paid my debt, took my place, took your place on the cross of Calvary so that you and I would not have to go there. He died. He was buried. He was in the ground. He rose on the third day. And he lives victorious. Why? So that you and I can enjoy everlasting life.
Amen.
And so when we desire and we say, God willingly, I'm going to serve you, well, that's a wise decision. That's a very wise decision. I'm so glad that as a young teenager, I gave my life to serve the Lord. I didn't have to go through the things that some people have to go through. Some people say, well, Brother Lyons, you've never experienced the world. Amen. I'm so glad I didn't have to. I mean, but it took just as much grace to save me as it did someone else. But I don't have all the garbage to work with. I don't have all that stuff I have to deal with in my life. I got enough stuff already. But God saved me at a young age and called me into the ministry. And those wise decisions have saved me from lots of trouble. They had a compelling faith. They had a committed faith. Verse number 6, we see they had a completed faith. In so much that we desire Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you this same grace also. If you understand the book of 2 Corinthians, or the book of Corinthians is written to the church of Corinth. The church of Corinth had kind of messed up. They had got let worldliness in. And as we think about chapter 8, chapter 9, and chapter 10, we see that they, along with the Macedonians, had committed for a year. We see that later on in chapter number 8. They had committed for a year. All right, and so in chapter 9, Paul comes to them and he says, hey, you know, you promised a year ago, Macedonia completed, you didn't. We're going to come get the gift, so you better get it ready. Lest you be, and I'm paraphrasing, embarrassed. They hadn't completed their commitment to the Lord. But the Macedonians, they had done it. They had done what they were bringing the gift. And so as they were ministering to the Lord, as they were doing what they needed, they fulfilled their commitment, which fulfilled their contentment. Can I help you? If you want to be happy, keep your word. Fulfill your commitments. You may have done a faith promise this year. Fulfill that commitment. And as you think about your faith promise for next year or your missions giving for next year, fulfill your commitment. You'll find out you're happy when you do that, when you keep your word. They had a completed faith. But then in verse number 7, we see they had a compounding faith. In verse number 7, therefore, as ye abound in everything in faith and in utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. As you're growing in all these areas, you're growing in faith, you're growing in knowledge, you're growing in utterance, and all that's growing is building you up. Hey, grow in grace as well. Amen. The gift grew with their knowledge and faith. Their faith grew, and I can't express clearly enough the idea of allowing God to allow you to be the channel by which he uses you to minister to others. And it's not that God's giving you more money for you, though that may happen. He's giving you more money because he's stretching your channel. He's enlarging your channel so that you can, by his grace, give to help others hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I like it when God stretches my channels a little bit. It hurts sometimes, and it's uncomfortable. But man, the results are spectacular. Man, when God uses you and God uses me, and we hear what our funds are doing, we hear what how our prayers are being answered. Wow, that is wonderful. Their faith grew, their finances grew, and then their fellowship grew. I mean, if everybody at New Testament Baptist Church gets on board and they're doing what they can do and doing exactly what God wants to do, you know what? There'll be one excited bunch here. I mean, you'll be saying, man, we'll be lined up at the door. Man, I can't wait for the next service. What's God going to do? Man, I just can't wait to be in church. I can't wait to be in fellowship with my brothers in Christ. Why? Because when we're growing together, our faith is growing, and God is supplying, and God is enlarging our fellowship, you just want to be together because that's what God desires for us. You see, it just compounds. It just grows and grows and grows. Faith promise giving and our missions giving doesn't end with the conference or with the month. That's just the beginning of what our expectation of God's going to do through us in the coming year. It compounds. So they had a compounding faith in verse 7. Verse number 8, we see they had not a commanded faith in verse number 8. Look what it says there. I speak not by commandment, Paul says, but by an occasion of forwardness of others. What? To prove the sincerity of your love. Paul says, hey, this isn't a commandment. This is an opportunity. Amen? The Lord Jesus Christ is saying, hey, here's an opportunity for you to be personally involved in reaching souls with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's providing you, New Testament Baptist Church, with an opportunity to do more this year than you did last year for the cause of missions. My question is, how much will you let God use you this year? How much will you allow God to put you into action? How much will you allow God to put you on the battlefield? How much will you allow God to put you in the limelight and say, hey, I want to use you. I want to stretch you this year. I want to help you grow this year. But it wasn't a commanded occasion. It was an opportunity. They gave freely. We already saw that. They gave fervently. I mean, it was something, they had a passion in their giving. But I believe that the offering time ought to be a happy time. Amen? I didn't get many amens there. I believe that the offering time ought to be a happy time. Amen? Yeah, and it doesn't sound very good in English, but in Spanish, the Spanish people, they call their offering time happy hour. I know it has its own connotations, but it sounds good in Spanish. But it ought to be a time of rejoicing where we can give out of our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that offer plate comes by, we just say, whoa, man, I get to do something for Jesus. I get to be involved in helping reaching the soul for Christ. Now, I know I'm weird and strange, and that's okay. But, hey, be happy about being involved. Be happy about giving. Be happy that God wants to use you, of all people, use you to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Their faith grew. Their finances grew. Their fellowship grew. They gave freely. They were gave frequently. They were always giving. Verse number 9, we see they had a Christ-centered faith. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Folks, don't ever forget the person who told you about the Lord Jesus Christ. Always be thankful that somebody came and reached you with the gospel. And it doesn't hurt every now and then. If that person is still alive, send them an email. Or if you can go talk to them, say, hey, you know, I want to thank you for just leading me to Christ. Be grateful for the people that sacrificed and that God used in your life and in my life. But God commendeth love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, the Bible says Christ died for us. He didn't have to do that. But he did. He did that for us. And as these Macedonian Christians were giving, they were motivated by their love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ought to come and we look around and we see all the disasters, the things that are going on. You read the news and you get depressed and, man, everything looks grim and dim. But folks, let me tell you, God's not out of business. He's not in heaven wringing his hand wondering what's going to happen. He's in total control. And we can have total confidence in him. They were motivated by their love for the Lord. But then they were moved by the labors of others. Man, when I see the pictures of Brother Fisto, and we've been praying for him about this property and what God's doing and all that's happening there. We've been praying with Brother Denny Mitchell, who also has a homeless ministry, and their property's in jeopardy as well, and working some things out. And as people send a prayer request in, as we go over those needs, and Brother Corey Meyer in Spain is out of their property, the second property, already full, no room to go, to grow. They've got to do something else. Well, that's exciting to me. And I see their labor, it motivates me to give. I want to see God do something with those folks. They were motivated by the love for the Lord. They were moved by the labors for others. They were maintained by the leading of the Holy Spirit. You know, everything we do in our life ought to be done because Christ wants us to. And that's what's so important. As I mentioned, we walk with the Lord. And we're walking with him. And he guides us and he helps us and directs us. And we're sensitive to his voice. He helps us and guides us to make the right decisions. Verse number 10, we see they had a continuous faith. Herein I give my advice, Paul says, for this is expedient for you who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. And this is where we get our 12 months of faith promise giving, 1 year. He said, hey, you promised a year ago. Macedonians have already completed. You haven't fulfilled your promise. Hey, get with it. But they continued. They continued. They continued. See, it becomes a way of life. I believe it's not just faith promise giving, but I believe it's faith promise living. Every aspect of our life is trusting God by faith. I think if we're honest, we're in church, we really should be honest, amen. But I think if we're honest to say, God keeps his promises, amen. I have not found one promise in the Word of God where he's failed yet. And so because I have the confidence that he keeps his promise, I, by faith, can serve him, trusting him to do what he said he's going to do. That's all my life is, to live by faith. This became natural for the Christians at Macedonia. It was a natural way of life, just to trust the Lord. It was something that became notable. Man, Paul and the Word of God and the Lord Jesus is pointing them out. Hey, note their faith. Note their faith. Follow their faith. Follow their example. Paul said, hey, follow me as I follow Christ. Why? Because it's notable when we live by faith. Others see your faith. Others see your trust in God. Others watch your life. And they say, wow, what a mighty God they serve. Man, wish my God was like that. And all of a sudden, they're asking you, what makes you so different? And you get to share the gospel with them. Isn't that wonderful? Man, that's just the way God works. They became natural. It became notable. But it became something that was non-negotiable. Folks, living for Christ should never be negotiable. It's not something I give up to do something else that I enjoy in this life. My life was bought with a price, and I should be completely sold out to whatever God wants for me to do. They had a continuous faith. Then last of all, lest you think I'm going to preach all night, they had a conquering faith. Verse number 11. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. Performing the doing of it, Be faithful and give and participate. It's giving of what you have and then trusting the Lord to provide for your needs. I tell people all the time, it's impossible for you to give something you don't have. I did have $10 in my pocket, but I gave it back to my wife, so I can't offer you $10. But if I had $10 in my pocket, and I said, Brother McLean, do you want $10? And he would, by being a good Baptist preacher, say, yes, sir, I could use $10. And if I had the $10, I'd say, well, Brother McLean, here's the $10. Why? Because I have the $10. But if he came and he said, Brother Lyons, I need $1 million. And I said, Brother McLean, I'll give you $1 million if I had $1 million, but I don't have $1 million. I can't give you that. See, it's giving of what we do have. And then trusting God to supply our needs. Amen. If we ever get a hold of that concept, folks, it'll revolutionize your life. When I realized that truth, God did something in my life, and I don't worry about bank accounts, and I don't worry about money. Not because I'm rich. I'm not. But I just believe that if God has called me to serve Him, He's more than capable to supply my need. If God is able to save me, surely He's able to take care of me. I don't know how. That's not my problem. That's God's problem. He's promised to take care of me. If I'm faithful and I do what I ought to do and I'm obedient to Him, He's promised to supply all my needs. And up to now, I have clothing. I'm dressed. Amen. I have food. I'm fat. And I have a place to sleep. Amen. Miss Flo has given us a wonderful place to sleep. God has provided my needs. And if I'm honest and you're honest, He's provided our needs more abundantly. Amen? If we're honest with ourselves. When we're trusting God as we are faithful to Him, it conquers our fear. We live in a world that is full of fear. I mean, they're scared of everything. I mean, you just turn around and everything is everybody's in a tight wad and things are happening and they're, oh man, what's going to happen? We don't need to live in fear. Why? We're trusting God. He's in control. It conquers not only our fear, but it conquers our frustration. How many of you ever get frustrated? Yeah. How many of you ever start out, you know, I like lists. In the morning, I make a list. And I like to complete my list. But in all the years of serving God, some 36 years now of being, or 34 years of being in the ministry, many days, those lists don't get completed. Something happens, and I don't get to do everything that I would want planned that day. You know what I do? I say, well, it'll go on for tomorrow. Not worry about it. Don't get frustrated. Don't let your tightness of a schedule rob you of an opportunity to be a blessing to someone else, to be an encouragement to somebody else, to help somebody along life's way. We live trusting God. It conquers our fears. It conquers our frustration. And then number three, it conquers our feebleness. Paul said, when I am weak, then I'm strong. Because my strength doesn't lie in Jonathan Lyons. It lies in the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. When I became president of Baptist Missions to Forgotten Peoples, and got a few weeks into it, things were quite overwhelming, to say the least. I remember going in my office one morning. I sat down in that chair behind that desk. I said, God, I can't do this. This is way too much. You got the wrong person here. I can't do this. Still small voice came. Every morning when I go in that office, you know what? I still don't think I can do it. But I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And I have to go in that office and I have to pray, God, this is your ministry. I'm your servant. If you don't help me today, it's going to be a flop. I'm going to disappoint somebody. I'm going to give wrong advice. So today, I need your grace. I need your help. And I need your mercy. And you know what? They don't always go the way I planned. In fact, it hardly ever does. But I end the day saying, God, I did the very best I could. Thank you for helping me through the day. Folks, when we trust God, He helps us. The Macedonian church succeeded because they exceeded in their faith. And if you're going to succeed in as a New Testament Baptist church, you're going to succeed because you have displayed a stronger faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we do that, the sky is the limit of what God can do through us for a lost and dying world. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 tells us how far we could really go. Verse 15 and 16 says, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. But to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready in our hand. To preach the gospel in the regions beyond. There is no limit to what God can do when we're completely surrendered by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's using us to our full extent. The problem comes and the blessings are missed when we don't give ourselves completely to him. So let me encourage you as New Testament Baptist Church. One, be excited about what God's doing. You get excited. I mean, nobody likes a sourpuss. I mean, that'd help anybody. I mean, if you're eating sour lemons for lunch, don't let anybody know that. We don't want to know that. But come with it, be an encouragement. Look to be a blessing. Don't come to church expecting somebody to bless you. Come to church looking to be a blessing, and you'll find out that you're blessed more than anybody else. Because there's always somebody that needs it that's worse off than you are. Be a blessing. And then you begin to grow in faith. You'll see how God will use you in ways that you never, ever imagined. This, my friend, is the work of missions. This is how it works. When we're faithful, we know God's faithful. So when we're faithful to him, he'll do great and mighty things which we know not of. Hey, let's look forward to what God's going to do as we serve him in missions this year. Not only in missions, but he'll bless your family. He'll bless your work. He'll bless your relationships. He'll bless your friends. It just goes on and on and on. Why? That's what faith does when we're exercising faith on a day-by-day basis. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this evening. And, Lord, I pray I would have been an encouragement to these fine folks. Thank you, Lord, for what you're already doing. Lord, thank you for the good messages on Sunday, but the more, Lord, as they have missions emphasis this month coming in, I pray you just bless. And, Lord, may they do more this year than they've ever done before. Increase our faith. Help to love you more, serve you more, be more sensitive to you. Thank you already for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Preacher.